Howdy, everybody. Bob Tallman for No Spin Rodeo. No politics, no BS, just hard-hitting news and rodeo commentary from two of the most trusted sources in our sport. Kendra Santos, Tommy Joe Lucia. Listen up. Here we go.
Everybody, welcome to No Spin Rodeo. Thank you for tuning us in on the radio and watching us. If you're watching us on YouTube Live, I am in Chili, Kentucky for Road to the Horse in beautiful Lexington, where they have the most beautiful horse farms I've ever seen in my life. And Kendra, I really like that pink shirt. How are you today? That's pretty. No, I'm not even being facetious. I think it's a good color on you.
Thank you. My daughter-in-law, Jane, gave it to me. Thanks.
That was very nice of her.
Oh, kind.
What have you been up to there, lady?
I have been writing stories and doing a lot of that, but talking to cowboys, today as one example, I love my life. Like I said all the time, but it's true because to write a story about one of our NFR team reppers from the 60s and 70s who just passed away, the call I ended up on for just a few basic facts from Jimmy Rodriguez, who was one of this guy's partners. And before we visited for a while, and he's telling me about their airplane catching fire and a crash landing with Roy Cooper and Tom Ferguson on the plane and all these things. I'm like, this is a long time ago. And I know that particular story happened after 76 or in 76, because Roy Cooper was a rookie, but Tom Ferguson never woke up and they crash landed with the engine on fire. So,
oh, the Wright brothers were probably flying. It was that long ago.
The stories are just so great, and they don't end. But I love it, and so I love that I get to hear about it and share it before. I mean, some of these, such an amazing generation of cowboys, you know, is leaving. I mean, John Papugian just died at 89 years old. That's a great long life, but pretty cool, you know. And very when cool. When people win world heading titles on your heel horse, You have some pretty nice horses, but anyway.
Well, I'll say. Well, and there's been some big team roping news. Like, I've seen it all around. What's this about the fastest? Is it tying the fastest run?
It is. So last night, okay, so today is March 17th. Last night, Monday night, March 16th, James Arvizo, this is Rodeo Austin, James Arvizo and Rance Doyle were 3-2 to tie the world record, which Rance just tied himself. That's pretty cool, right? He was 3-2 behind Mason Appleton at the Snake River Stampede in Nampa, Idaho last summer to you know, new record. And then last night, behind Derek Begay and Coulter Todd, ran their final Super Series 5 steer last night and advanced out of their set to the semifinals at Houston. And that same night, his nephew, who was last year's Rookie of the Year, Rookie Header of the Year, and this Rance Doyle were 3-2 to tie Rance's, you know, existing record. But cool to me, too, is so how did this happen? In 1968, Red Doyle is an NFR bull rider. Fast forward to you and my tenure with the PBR and, you know, the PRCA and the NFR. Roy Doyle, Rance's dad, is a PBR cowboy and NFR bull rider. And so here's this, the world record holder comes from generations of bull riders. And so that's kind of interesting. Anyway.
It is very interesting. Very interesting. Well, I think we're just going to chit chat. We're just going to have a conversation. And when we have a conversation, who knows where it'll go. But today is just conversation day. And I think that the main headlines in our sport kind of revolve around Houston. So I did a little bit of research on Houston, and I just think it's interesting. You know, this rodeo, the stock show, started in 1931. And seven ranchers got together in a hotel and wanted to do something to increase the awareness of ranching and bring some money into town in the agricultural space. And so in 1932, they did their first, called the Houston Fat Stock Show and Livestock Exhibition. And they had about 2,000 people that attended at Sam Houston Hall. Now, in contrast, 2.7 million people come to the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. They give away $66 million in scholarships. I mean,
660 million, because I just looked that up a while
660?
ago. 660 million, 22,000 plus kids over the years have gotten scholarships. And what I saw was that 1932 was the first year for the rodeo. Now, the other thing that just caught my eye the other day randomly about Houston is that a 13-year-old, Reagan Miller from Seagraves, Texas, just sold her Grand Champion market lamb for $1 million on March 13th. I'm like, what?
Yeah, and I saw that, $1 million for a sheep. But the Grand Art, the Grand Champion, I think, in the art was like $525,000. Now, I don't think they get all that money. Do
I don't
they?
Think so either.
Most of it goes to scholarship funds, I think. They get a percentage of it or something. I didn't look that up, but I don't think they get all of that.
I think you're right about that. Because a few years ago, the kid that had like the Grand Champion steer or heifer or something was from a rodeo family. And there is something about that, that there is a cap on what the kids can get. But ultimately, if a lamb brings $1 million and a bunch of it goes to help kids in Texas go to college or whatever, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. All right, let's hit the headlines. We're not going to dive into details. We're not going to dive into details. The event's not over yet, but we'll hit the headlines, and some of them are actually funny. And so there's random ones and there's rodeo ones. I think the first rodeo headline I'll pitch out for conversation mm-hmm. is to start the semifinals tonight. I believe there's 10, I think. I'm pretty sure there's 10s in the semifinals. And I don't know how many people know about this, but they are implementing instant replay starting in the semifinals all the way through at Rodeo Houston. I think that's pretty interesting. And the Cowboys can challenge. The Cowboys can challenge.
Do you know if on the challenge, is it like it used to be with the PBR that if you threw the challenge flag and you were wrong, you had to pay $500, wasn't it, or something?
I do not know the exact details, though. I don't think that those have been widely dispersed, frankly. I mean, you haven't seen anything. I mean, it's almost like the world champions go and meet the president of the United States, and you find out about it after the fact. I mean, I think that's one of the coolest things ever. That's a whole different, that has nothing to do with Rodeo Houston. But, I mean, it's like, oh, yeah, guess what? Here's some pictures. I mean, first time since Reagan. How flippin', I don't care if you like the president or you don't like the president. You've got to like the office of the president, and to be able to go there, and I just changed the subject, but being able to go there is just badass.
I cool. actually had a call from a press person at the White House on Tuesday. They did that on Friday, and I had a call on Tuesday, and it was that I was invited to, you know, fly coast to coast at my own expense. That's fine. But the kicker for me was it, I'm going to say an exact quote, was that at the last minute, the president will decide whether or not it's open or closed to the press. And so I said, well, if I were to make the commitment to come and then be turned away at the door, I guess I'd be kind of bummed out about that. And
or pissed.
I was told this is something that I was told. Well, that's just the way the cookie crumbles. And in case you haven't heard, we just bombed Iran. So I too am not gonna go into politics ever here in this space. But But I do share with you that I have my whole life and felt that we should respect the office of the president. And so personal feelings.
It doesn't surprise me that the current president makes quick decisions. That's obvious. But back to Houston. And that was cool. I mean, it's really cool to see Rockersteiner shaking President Trump's hand. I mean, there's just so many images that flash through my mind, but I'm going to get off of that. That was just flipping cool. It is cool. And it's something to be said first time since Reagan. There's something about that this current environment does seem a little more, has a little more appetite for our lifestyle, including up there. So
what I'm going to guess as a strong hunch is that Dustin Noblet from Resist All and that whole group of companies had a strong hand in making this possible, because he did present a custom hat to Donald Trump. And so.
And he put it on right. He looked at it. He made sure he didn't have it backwards. Did you see that? The little things that I noticed. Because there's nothing worse in a big moment than someone putting a hat on backwards. And Trump looked at it, made sure he had it on right, then put it on. So good for you, President Trump.
Yeah. And cool. I think that was something that it was a great honor for our world champions. And so, you know, good for them.
So headline, they're going to start replays and reviews in the semifinals. And I think they have semifinals, they have wild cards, and then they boil it all down. And I think, is it Saturday night that it ends? I think it's Saturday night.
I think so. I think they said it, they changed it from ending on Sunday to Saturday night. I'm also curious, because I don't know, is, you know how when there was a huge controversy, I don't know, is it 2 or 3 years ago now with Bo Cooper? There was a lot of talk about the fact that some of the judges there were not PRCA officials, and I don't know if that's been remedied or if that is still the case. I don't know. Do you?
I don't. I think, from what I can tell, since we're talking about judges, and there's been some issues in the judging program this year. And not holding anybody hostage on why, but there's been some issues. There's some issues every year, but it seems like there's been a few more this year. And from what I can tell in with my sources and stuff, Houston's kind of been up and down on the judging, but nobody has told me that they don't think that the right guys have advanced. So, because I've asked that question, right?
Well, now, that's a win. That's a win. You know, I've noticed a couple things at the timed event, and one, as opposed to what was happening for a few years there, the Cavs they have to stay tied for 6 seconds now. Okay, so that's back. And then apparently, was it last year when some of the Texas rodeos modified the steer wrestling rules, and there was a lot of confusion where if a steer, you know, went down in front or did something, you had to get them back on their feet and rethrow them. And it appears that they have considered that a failed experiment and gone back to the regular rules.
Yeah. Well, okay. We won't get into that. Now, interesting. I've saw some stuff on Facebook and around about the dirt. The ground was a problem, has been a problem in Houston. And it is true that Randy Spraggins and I don't know who else is joining him, but the WPRA strongly pushed for Spraggins and some of them people to help. So I'm gonna tell some insider knowledge here. I guarantee you that Randy Spraggins and his team helped the ground. But I'll tell you the biggest thing that I know helped the ground that Randy and them can take credit for. And that is when they used to have, this is interesting, when they used to have the old stage, it was very, very heavy. And so what they would do with the ground at Houston, and most, I don't know if everybody knew this, but they would put a heavy compact of clay in the center where the stage set because it would want to sink on one side or the other. Now, I don't know how many years ago it was, but now they have this, I'm telling you, have you seen it, Kendra? That's the new stage that comes out is a show in itself. Have you seen that thing come out? Like
no.
It's automated. It looks like a transformer. It comes out. There's a whole light show. Like, there's a production around the stage driving out and opening up. But my point is, what I hear, and I think it's true, is that they did not put the clay in the middle of the ground this year, that they trusted that this stage would not sink, and it hasn't. And that alone, if that's the truth, if you can imagine, Kendra, having two different types of soil in the same competition field, a very heavy clay base and then a more mixed base, impossible to make that stuff match. Not possible. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Spraggins. You're not going to be able to take that. And that clay center that the stage sent on, I guess they used the same material all the way through. They haven't had any problems with that. And the final note is, I don't know if you've heard anything, but the ground is better at Houston this year. So congratulations to Houston, to Randy, for not having the clay circle, all that stuff.
Was one of the barrels on top of the clay and the other barrels on the other dirt? Or
I don't know that it was on top, but I think it was close enough that you can imagine you have a ground change there in moisture, right, in compaction. You're going to be hitting a ledge. I don't care what you do, right? You're, and so that is a good thing, you know. And I think they compacted that area on purpose down low, so you'd have a hard pan. You never want a hard pan, all those kind of things. But they fixed it, and the stage isn't sinking, and the ground is better. So good for everybody, right?
Yeah,
good for everybody. So I'm going to go to now a crazy headline that I just think is – no, I'm going to save the craziest headline for later. Carnival has to be shut down because of too much crazy people partying at the carnival. They shut it down early.
Partying, this was fighting, all of
fighting
it.
Fighting, all of it. So they had to shut the carnival down. Now, so I'm trying to figure this out. You got the Ferris wheel there, right? You got the Mickey Mouse fly up and down things. Like, really? Isn't the carnival where the family goes? Like, why was there a drunken brawl at the carnival? I mean, that one surprised me, that they had to shut it down because it got a little unruly at the carnival.
Yeah, but you read their new policy that came out Monday night you have to wear shirts and shoes, for the love of God.
Hold on.
Do we have to tell people this?
What? Well, hold on. There's a big backstory behind this. This one's great. They had to implement a dress code at Rodeo Houston. That's what you're talking about, right?
Yes.
Well, get this. So I'm not going to show the picture that my daughter-in-law sent me from a person that was in the concourse. But here's what happened. A group of women out on Facebook world got together and started Facebooking that they were going to set their own rodeo attire. Now, I might not be nailing this, but this is essentially what happened. That they were all going to dress alike and go to the rodeo and create a rodeo outfit. That rodeo outfit, Kendra, consists of, you had to wear a thong and cowboy boots. And I know this to be true because I have a picture on my phone in the concourse of a very large person with a thong on and high boots. And evidently, and I know this for a fact from my insiders at Houston, there were hundreds of women in thongs and cowboy boots at that performance of the Houston Rodeo. Hence, put a dress code in. How about that story?
It's embarrassing. I wrote some little thing about this today, and I said, because it's true, like, okay, I've always just been like, I won't walk out my door unless I would greet my parents, my grandparents, or my sons in whatever I'm wearing. That's how I've always felt. And as I've gotten older, I have at times, like, especially at the NFR in Vegas, you know, there are times, especially like back number night stuff, where people, like, you can't wear underwear with that skirt, or the underwear is going to be showing. I mean, unless that's your intent or whatever. But there are plenty of times when I look at that after having my knee replaced and da 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 da, the some of the heels are death-defying, but I find myself, you know, complimenting young women a lot of times and saying, man, good for you. You know what? You look amazing and good for you. It was different for me, though, every once in a while, now that we have, quote, influencers occasionally in the press room, you know, part of my best advice to young people who say that they want to do what I do is, you know, your personal conduct actually matters. And so if you dress like, pardon me, but to be blunt, but like a streetwalker and you come down to interview cowboys or whatever, you're just truly not doing yourself any favors because, you know, I don't know. I kind of like staying away from politics. I'm not trying to be like holier than thou at all. And I'm like, if you look good, great. But under zero circumstances would wearing a thong and high heels be appropriate. I don't care if you're going to, you know, come on. I mean, you know, it was funny when we were kids and there were streakers at football games and stuff, everybody's laughing and stuff, but the people got thrown out. I mean, you know what I thought was interesting about this policy is like, well, for one thing, when I, like in the carnival setting and stuff, it came down to safety. And a comment I made today and what I wrote was, this was not just some by the seat of their pants decision. I mean, obviously,
pardon the pun.
Oh, I didn't mean it. But anyway,
lack of seat of your pants. Go ahead.
This took major legal support to do it, and making sure, you know, in this day and age of freedom of expression and freedom of speech and everything else. But so what gets interesting on the dress code part is, are they allowed to do that because it's technically a private event, or how does this work? Because you know what I'm saying, like on the legal side, you have to have a foundation so you don't get sued by the girl in the thong and the high heels.
Well, but if you choose to purchase a ticket, you purchase the ticket based on the rules around that ticket. So yeah. I choose to purchase the ticket. So when you purchase, this is what I assume. Well, this is what I pretty much know. When you purchase the ticket, that disclaimer has to be on there. When you purchase this ticket, you can only come in if you're not wearing a thong and tall boots, right? I mean, that, you know, and I think that's perfectly fair for a family event. Listen, I might just be an old guy. I am an old guy. But, you know, even in Vegas, the young women that make me say, wow, she looks beautiful, are the ones that are just dressed classy to the hilt. And no doubt they're not beautiful, right? That they're not, you know, in shape and all the stuff that I wish I was and all of that stuff. But they, and I'm telling you, those are the ones that most of the men look at and go, oh,
well,
that one, if you catch that, you know, so.
Having been raised by the He-Wolves, as I always say, in exclusively, you know, only brothers, only an all-boy neighborhood except for me. So growing up, listening to all ages of boys, the leave something to the imagination is something you just said. Now, would they be entertained and maybe, you know, consider it in the short term? Absolutely, you know, but it just makes me sad otherwise. And to think about people taking their children and grandchildren and like fashion is one thing at the rodeo, but the shutting of the carnival down was a safety issue and like, you know, profanity on t-shirts and, you know,
yeah,
half
but
people's butts
listen,
showing and like
I'm
you can't
take
you. Your kids and it got dangerous and scary. I mean, we've seen videos. It you know, there was gang activity and fights and you can't take little kids into that situation.
Well, and you trust me, the picture that I saw, you can't buy a corn dog and enjoy it and walk behind the picture I saw. Like it's just too much. Just too much. But it doesn't really matter. They did what they thought they needed to do for their audience as a whole, and hats off to them. And I'm sure there's some rodeo event. No, I'm sure there's some events that could pretend like they're rodeos that attire is perfectly welcome, but no longer at Rodeo Houston can you wear your teaback and your tall boots. Next one. Noticed on Facebook that there were several posts from a lot of the staff. Bobby Tallman, the one that opens our show for us, the majestic voice for whatever, did come down with an infection and will not be finishing the rodeo there. And I know there's been a ton of prayers. And from what I hear, I have not talked to Bobby T. I did send him a text. I think he's on the road to recovery, but I think he had like a serious bacterial infection in an appendage, like a toe. And I'm talking about one of those things that had it been left untreated, like an E. coli thing, that this could have been really tragic news. So he's healing up, but you know, this E. coli and, you know, some of those bacteria, Kendra, you think, oh, it's okay, I'll wait till the rodeo's over, and it's over. So thank God the doctors, thank God the right things happened, and Bobby T's on the mend.
Yes.
Now, and he might be less one toe, I don't know for sure, but he's on the mend.
Well, he has been lovely with texts to me also, and he said they have their A-team working on me 24/7. I'm in good hands and I'll be fine. But I mean, what a huge, you know, not having him in the mix is tricky, but it is awesome. It's usually my late night indulgence that I get to watch it. And when he's like, let's Houston, let's go, you know, and, yep. And then of course his famous Hello Houston is, I mean, it's epic. And so he's absolutely being missed. I'm sure it's, you know, besides him, he's been really sick. What a tough rodeo to miss for him, you know, personally.
Absolutely. Another little backstory off the record story. So Josh Hambone Hilton and Benji Bendeley both do music there, which I thought was very interesting. That both, there's two music directors there. So I did a little digging on that. It comes to find out that Benji, who, both of those guys are fantastic, both NFR music players, very, 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 very good at what they do, different in the genres and stuff that they use, but that's good. That's what it's all about. However, about 10 or 12 years ago, Benji was there and during the middle of the performance got kidney stones that moved. And he went to the floor and got through the performance. And the powers that be at Houston basically said, you know, we've got three announcers, backup timers, all this stuff, and we don't have any backup for music. So that's when they decided to hire two music directors. And Josh Hambone Hilton and Benji share the duties throughout the performance. They don't do performance. They don't do like one performance, then you do the next. They hand off different events and stuff and keep it live. So, of course, I find that stuff interesting. I wondered why they had two guys there. And that's why. In case a kidney stone rolls, you got a backup. And that makes sense when you pay someone to do music. And if they go down, you have a problem. So I thought that was an interesting tidbit.
Yeah, I feel like Houston is kind of no stone unturned on the production. And just like, I mean, the angles they give us to watch the replay and things, you know, if something happens, like here's this other angle, here's the overhead angle, here's all these different angles, and you want to see it in slow motion, we're going to show you that too.
It's the greatest produced rodeo, the best video broadcast production in rodeo, period. Like even the big show in December, this one is the very best. But they've got a whole host, and it's not a but. The reason is they've got a whole host of Fox broadcast people that are a part of that team there, that not only are they great at what they do, but they find interesting angles because they're interested. They're not necessarily doing always the same old thing, right? Because you know, they do this once a year, and I understand that that crew absolutely loves it. Everybody wants to do the rodeo, and they're very, very good at it. Now, I think it's interesting. It's kind of this collision between old school and new school. For instance, I've noticed the shoot microphones. They're very, very, very good. Like, that's an art, by the way. Being able to dial in the audio, like on the side of an NFL game, when you hear the pad hit and the football drop, there are guys that are incredibly talented that are dialing that in. They're literally dialing out the stuff you don't want to hear and dialing up the stuff that you do, so that you're hearing these things. You're like, it's almost like you're standing right there. Well, it's the same thing at Rodeo Houston with their shoot audio. However, I find it completely entertaining to hear Binyon Cervi say something that Binyon Cervi probably shouldn't say, or any, you know, if you really listen, you'll hear some really, really interesting things that we all hear when we're behind the shoots, when we're producing rodeos, right? But we're not used to hearing that stuff over the airwaves, and it's cool and it's neat, but we've got to be a little bit careful. Got to be a little bit careful, because I don't know that these guys know how well those microphones can hear them behind the chutes.
Well, that stadium is so much higher tech than Thomas and Mac, for example, and that plays into the replay conversation also. But on the different people mic'd up part of it, it's interesting to me. Like, do they have posted in the ground rules or in the locker rooms or anything to heads up everybody? Anything you say back there when we're live is, I just wonder, does anybody get a heads up? Because, you know.
I imagine the heads up's when they say something and then they see it get texted to them that they probably shouldn't have said that. And then it probably gets around the locker room, you know. And the thing about it is you never really know what they're going to take and not take. You know, they're listening to everything, right? And it's also interesting, the other thing, when you have a new crew like that, it's interesting that they're very interested in new angles and stuff, but they also, there's relevant data that they don't realize is relevant that they could use, that they don't even realize is important to some of the aficionados like you, right? That it could be said and maybe left on the shelf, but it doesn't really matter. The end result is, in my opinion, the very best broadcast production of rodeo ever, period. End of story. Like, it just is. And there's a million reasons why, and that's irrelevant, but you want to watch rodeo and want to see it done as good as it can be done, find the Houston Rodeo and watch a performance.
I think that's just true. And it being our richest regular season, rodeo is tremendous. There is so much to compliment them about. And, you know, $660 million worth of scholarships over the years is extraordinary. And who doesn't want to help kids? And the one thing that I always just put, you know, P.S., please do keep increasing the prize money for the contestants also while you're at it. And I mean, last year, I think, without going back and doing a quick check, I think 5 Houston champions last year won the world, because they increased it last year instead of the winners. What was it? Instead of winning 50, you won, was it 60? People won over 60 grand that won it. And I mean, obviously, how many rodeos, that has the impact of so many rodeos all put together, you know, it's a huge impact. And so I feel like another thing that's interesting to mention about Houston is there is always like a conversation and there's a line to walk with. Sometimes in the past, Houston's gotten away with getting to call a few of their own special ground rule shots, right? And yeah. I think the current administration is holding to the rule book. I think it was what it appears, but you know, there's that question: should you be able to set a few of your own rules if you add a huge amount of money, you know, or not? The old school feeling is, you know, the rules apply to everybody, and it took forever to get them all put in place, so they apply to everyone. I don't know how you feel about that. It's just, it has a huge impact on the entire rodeo season. Houston does, obviously.
It does. And I don't think there's room in this conversation for, I think we will stay above the clouds a little bit. You know, there's arguments that you win Houston, you win a gold buckle. There's no doubt that you win it, but there are a lot of, you don't have to win 20 rodeos now to match Houston. You could win three.
But
okay.
And how many people makes win 20 rodeos in a season?
But I said that's, but I'm saying the good news is that the money's went up across the boards. There are other big rodeos. There's a lot of big paying rodeos, including now the Governor's Cup and Salt Lake. There's a lot of big rodeos. My point is, to win 20 rodeos to match what Houston is a never probably going to happen, right? You know, that's a lot of rodeos for everything to go right. But you can have a good summer and win two or three of these big ones, and you know that guy that won Houston be right there neck to neck with him. But what typically happens is the cream rises to the top, and if you win Houston, you're one of the top five guys, period, or girls going, and you're probably going to win one of the other big ones, and yeah, you're going to get in.
Well, certainly do not think that it's an automatic gold buckle, but it's almost an automatic you're going to make the NFR this year, which is the point of being out there all year. And I can literally only name one person, and I won't name him, that I know of that won Houston in the last 10 years that did not make the NFR. One. So getting you to where the big money is at the NFR is huge. So
I agree. Well, yeah. And I think it's interesting, and I don't know the young man's name, so forgive me, no spinners. Look it up if you can. I think this is cool. They invited, or however it works, the winners from the permit challenge in Waco to come compete. Well, there's a bronc rider that won his round that's a permit guy that came in from Waco, and I forgot his name, but he's in the semis. Wouldn't it be cool? Wouldn't it be so cool if a kid wins Waco in a permit challenge, luckily gets into Houston because he won that and won the rodeo? Like, he's not going to win the rodeo because he got lucky, Kendra. It's because he's good, right? You don't win a round at Houston because of all luck. So wouldn't that be
hitting a big break? And I'm not 100% sure. Last year, I feel like, didn't Brandon Harrison, who nobody knew, maybe win San Antonio? And he may have gotten there through a qualifier. I'm not positive about that, but it was like, you know, one of those big break deals. Because there are lots of very talented people who, you know, more and more rodeos are limited now. And so it's kind of harder to break in. And I do think, go ahead.
But there's 166, I think it's around 100, there's over 150. I think it's 166 outs, right? That's a lot. Like when you say limited, yes, but when you start 166 in each discipline, something like that, okay, it's a lot. That's 40, a lot of players.
I mean, 40 people. 40 people get into Houston
total in each discipline.
I believe, yes, okay. That's what they're saying at the start of the rodeo each night. 40. They start with 40 in each event.
So then they got with the rounds and stuff. My 166 must be just the amount of outs by the time you go down the playoff bracket. But still, you know, I now you and I probably won't agree on this, but I think when you, the top 40 in any discipline is the bigger half of the best.
And that's absolutely true. And the one thing though is, you know, it's just the fact of the matter is it's a 2-year process. Say, for example, there's someone in my family who's missed a couple of years due to injury and is a national finals person. But now, I mean, the way it is, it's a 2-year commitment, because you're going to have to spend, if you're coming back, you have to spend this year getting into the top 30 or 40 for next year in order to really, I mean, yeah, there's only been one Cody Ohl ever that made it to the NFR in like 27 rodeos. I mean, that's not really realistic. So anyway, I mean, it's just the way it is. No whining, but it's just the way it is with more limited rodeos.
Go there and win. Now, next headline, which I think is a really fun one, because as a producer of events, I deal with this all the time. And it has to do with this current entitlement mentality that we see going all over our culture. And so there was a judge, a Harris County judge, that was given $9,000 worth of free tickets to the rodeos and concerts. This young lady, Latina young lady judge, was there for a Megan Maroney concert and evidently did not have, and you know, they give them ceremonial titles like ex officios or something if they're a part of the politics and the deal and they get to come. But $9,000 worth of tickets for whoever she wanted, right? Well, she didn't have the wristband, and they have wristbands to get down into the dirt. Well, she took her buddies. And I'm giving you a non, I wouldn't raise my right hand and say that this is exactly right, but this is from two or three or four different sources, okay? She took a whole group of people down and just figured she would, what we call, rodeo it, right? You know, I remember Steve Gander telling me one time, we had to go into some event, and I said, well, Steve, we don't have credentials. He said, just keep walking. And we walk, and someone goes to stop him, and Steve Gander goes, oh, I'm with the rodeo. And they said, okay, go ahead. And we walked right in. So she was going to rodeo it. I'm with the rodeo it. You know, just walk right in and take her friends down on the dirt, kind of show that, you know, she's got some stroke. And they stopped her. And remember, it's volunteers and supported by security that are monitoring all of this. And they stopped her. And she threw a little hen fit, thinking, if now I'm embarrassed because I told these groupies that we're going to get down there, and not. She threw a fit and kept throwing a fit. And they said, you're going to have to go back to your seat that you were given for free. They didn't say that to her. She threw a fit and was escorted out. Okay. Which is exactly what should happen if someone just doesn't want to play by the rules. Well, then after that, she releases a letter to the press that says that she was, you know, shoved, and it was she wasn't allowed down because she was potentially, because she was a woman and Latina, and on and on and on and all this stuff, all this, that kind of stuff, you know. And, you know, kudos to the Houston Rodeo for standing their ground. I guess she went up to see video, and they did an immense amount of research to make sure that this situation was handled properly. And the officials said it was, and they looked at it, and you know, they looked at it. This is a delicate situation. And if you start to do a little digging, this particular judge is not running for a re-election because she's not very popular. She's not making the press. You know, so it was really, to me, it looks like it was a press stunt. And I just, hats off to the volunteers and the staff that stuck by their guns, said, I'm sorry, ma'am, you don't have a wristband. I don't care who you are, which is what I say at my events. You need to get the right credentials, right?
Are you not naming her to protect her?
No, I'm not protecting her. I don't want to mess it up. Lena Hidalgo. Lena Hidalgo.
Yeah, Harris County Judge Lena Hidalgo. And you just said something about a press stunt or something. That is an interesting thought, because to me, like, she humiliated herself.
It backfired. It backfired in her face. Like, it, but I think she did it for press. I don't know why else she would do it, right? And maybe she was a little bit embarrassed, but it backfired on her.
That's like me walking around with toilet paper on my shoe to see if I can get some press. That to me, it's equally like that. It makes equal sense. Like, so you're going to be like above the law in order to get press. I mean, the only press you're going to get is that you look like an idiot.
Well, and putting the press aside, but it's this whole mentality that, do you know who I am? I am who I am, so I get to break the rules. No, you don't. And I have said this to 100 people, including family members. This poor guy standing there. Yeah, he looks like he probably could be serving a burger at McDonald's. His job is to watch the gate, right? He stops you. You say, oh man, I left my credentials in my backpack, right? And you probably did. And he says, well, I'm sorry, you don't have credentials. But my backpack's in there. Well, but you don't have credentials. Then here they come find me. That moron at that gate wouldn't let me in. My credentials were right in there. Well, look, he's doing his job. He's doing his job or her job, right? Whoever it is. Their job is, this is what they told me you have to walk through this gate. I'm sorry you can't walk through this gate. Technically, they're doing their job. It's not their fault you left your stupid credentials in your backpack at the wrong spot. And I understand they have to be understanding, but take into account when you go to these events and stuff that these people are just doing their job. It might inconvenience you, but they've been told to do a job and they're trying to do a job, and what they're doing is for a reason. So keep that in mind. You know, this entitlement thing, do you know who I am? Oh, I've heard that too. Well, do you know who I am? Well, you can imagine what I say, Kendra. I know, and I don't.
Well, and most gate people are nice gate people at rodeos, and there's been plenty of do you know who I am's, but, you know, and every once in a while, one of them is just sort of on some sort of weird power trip, and you've been past him 6 times today on your way in and out of this one little gate, and he wants you to present your PIRCA card or whatever every time, and sometimes it can get frustrating, but most of these people are really nice, and the people, the contestants who are wise, it's like, you know, we're going to see each other a lot. What's your name? I'm Steve, whatever, you know, yeah. And these are people.
I know it makes sense that, look, I wouldn't be dressed like this if I wasn't a contestant. I understand that, but here's the deal. I would rather have the gate guy doing his job, right? So somebody doesn't go back there that shouldn't be back there and get hurt. Is much better than 2/3 of the gate guards don't even look at anything. And that's the problem. That's what we're used to. We're used to them not even looking. If you have your backpack, if you walk right in there like you belong, most of them don't have the guts to stop you, and they know that, and they do that, and they get conditioned to do that. And give the guy a break that's actually trying to do it right, right? Or the lady a break that's actually trying to do her job. I understand that it might be annoying to you, but give them a break. They're just doing it right. Most of them don't even look. That's why you're like, oh man, I sold. Look at all the tickets I sold. And then after the rodeo, you go back there and like, well, we sold 1,200 tickets. What do you mean we sold 1,200? It was full. Well, it's because everybody wants to sneak into a rodeo. Nobody wants to pay for a ticket to a rodeo. And by the way, that's how we get prize money and great announcers and great music guys and outstanding livestock, is you have to pay those people, and it takes tickets to pay it.
And more added money.
And more added money. But all of us have been guilty of going to a rodeo and not paying. And it's funny because when you're on this side of the ledger, people think tickets are free. Well, technically, they only cost a piece of paper, but the product costs a lot. So every ticket is worth the value printed on it. So if you want a free ticket, trade it for something of equal value. That's fair to the rodeo. So there you go.
And also, if you happen to be a gate person listening to this, be nice, because there are no tickets without all the people who just drove all night to get there. And you know, so everybody can be nice.
Everybody can be nice, but someone also has to. The flip side of that one is, I understand that you haven't had any sleep and you lost the last 6 rodeos and you hate life right now. But look in the mirror a little bit, and both parties should try to be decent. I mean, I've seen contestant athletes be real, real nasty people to volunteers and committee people. Nasty, like not right, like go punch him in the nose, nasty. Don't do that either. Gay people, be pleasant, be nice, but understand that they, you know, I remember when I got cancer, my throat cancer, and I was checking out and I didn't feel good and it hit me. And I may have said this on the podcast. This goes beyond the gate guards and the tired contestants. It's true that you don't know what that person's going through. That whatever that person is, the person checking you out, the person that made you mad, and a little bit of compassion in today's world, a little bit, just have a little compassion because you don't know what someone's dealing with. I know you expect them to be perfect at all times, but we're all human. You know what I'm saying?
Also, it's also worth remembering that most people on rodeo committees are volunteers, and so many of them take their vacation from their day job to work as a volunteer at the rodeo. So to remember that also is not a bad idea. It's pretty nice of them to do that.
There isn't usually at a rodeo, there isn't very many people making the money that the cowboys make and justified because they are the product and the cowgirls. I get that. But most of those people are donating their time. And we've said this before, and I think most of the contestants recognize this, that if it weren't for all of the rodeo committees and volunteers out there doing this, we wouldn't have the sport that we have. And I think 95% of the competitors understand that. I know the contract personnel as a whole do because they interact with those people more, right? The contract personnel are usually there the whole time, right? They get to know people, and that's the beauty of our business.
And the contract personnel, they do get their expenses paid in addition to their pay, right?
No, not they necessarily.
They don't pay for their own hotel room, for example, right? If they don't bring a trip in.
It depends on the agreement, right? Like technically as a subcontractor, you should write them a check and it should include the motel room. From an IRS perspective, right?
I feel like a lot of rodeos will have a host hotel and they trade advertising for a free room or whatever.
Sometimes the rooms are free. And, you know, sometimes there's meals that are served to the contestants. And, you know, the one thing the contract personnel, they're guaranteed a check. There's no doubt about it. They're guaranteed a check. Okay. But usually the checks aren't as big. Not always, but sometimes not. I'm talking about all the contract personnel. There's a select few contract personnel positions that the money's gotten up there really, really good. Okay. You can make a really good living.
Is that announcers, bullfighters?
Announcers? No, bullfighters. Now, the premier bullfighters are getting paid. Announcers are getting paid. The good announcers are getting paid good money now, and they should be. But they're still, if you look at the judges, right? The judges should be making a lot more money than they're making. The timers should be making a lot more money. And this is pot calling the kettle black because I produce rodeos and I have a budget, right? And we spend what we think we have to spend because our goal is to raise money for the charities, right? And so it's part of the free enterprise, but there's a lot of contract personnel that aren't getting paid what they're worth. Did I say this on the podcast? I think I might have. Someone stopped me after I got the Lifetime Achievement Award in Vegas, and they said it was a young man. And he had his little date book. I don't know whether he was a bullfighter or a barrel man, but they all have their little date book, right? Because they're going to the NFR because they have their PRCA card and they're in the big times. And, you know, they're lucky if they get two rodeos that first time, right? Literally. And they're walking around, like, feel like a shoe out of the wrong closet. Anyway, he said, what's the, you know, your lifetime achievement, you've been so successful. What's the key to being successful in this industry? And a million things came to my head. But the one thing that I said to him that I thought was pretty good is I said this, listen, you need to understand something. You're going to make 80% of what you're worth. And you need to put in 120% effort. And you will do good in this industry. And don't you think, Kendra, that applies to the contestants, to almost everybody? You know, you're making less than what you should be making as a pro athlete. You got to put in 20% more effort to get there. But I think that's the right ratio. If you mentally understand, we're probably not going to get rich in this sport. We might get rich in relationships and the culture, but we're probably not going to get rich. And you better work 20% harder. I don't care if you're an announcer, a bullfighter, or a tie down roper. You better work 20% harder than the other guy if you want to go up the ladder. Agree?
Well, I always told my sons it's and young people asking me about getting a start or whatever in this industry, it's like, it feels like it's so easy to stand out, you know, show up on time, if not early, stay late, bust your butt and keep your word, be honest, have integrity, bust your butt, and you will shine no matter the industry.
I agree. Serve good chicken fried steak and your restaurant will do good. Pretty simple. All right. Well, any final thoughts before we wrap it up? I think we covered a lot of ground and had a little fun on this episode.
Well, I very much enjoy being able to watch these rodeos. It really is like, before I go to bed, it's like my big unwind to watch the Perfect Houston. And whenever, you know, these rodeos, this Texas Swing stuff, is Austin the last Texas Swing rodeo? Is that right?
I think so.
I feel like these, you know, same with San Antonio and Fort Worth, like that getting to watch a really good performance every single night is like, gets us through the winter. It's almost like I almost feel spoiled, like how cool it is to be able to watch that all the time. When I think about like when we're kids and there's a rodeo on what, once or twice a year, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty cool. So.
Well, and I'm here, like I mentioned, one of the coolest events, you can watch it on YouTube or Ride Pass. It's called Road to the Horse. The Pitchfork Ranch brings in young horses and these trainers have 4 days with these horses with the crowd watching them, and then they go through an obstacle course. And I know that there were a couple really, really moving posts before the NFR when we were all dealing with the potential of horses being really sick. And those posts really tied into the fact that our industry literally does ride on the back of a horse. And this event, which is called Road to the Horse with Western Horsemen, these trainers, horses in our industry are like, that's foundational. And I love this event. So if you get the chance, you'll even love it. Turn it on. It is so amazing what these trainers do with these horses in a short amount of time. And it's amazing what all of the contestants, it's amazing what our sport does with horses. Right? Isn't it incredible?
And in general, the quality of horses and the level of horsemanship as it's evolved over time has gotten quite great across the board. Not like every single guy is this big hand or whatever, but so many more people, because it's so tough to win anymore, that horsemanship is absolutely a factor in. And these horses are so expensive. So to keep them working, you know, you've got to be in good touch. And before we go, I would just love to say one more thing, because it's not necessarily directly rodeo, although rodeo people are jumping in and helping, but such prayers for the people with those fires in Nebraska and South Dakota. A very good friend in Nebraska told me yesterday about a friend of his having to shoot 50 cows because they were suffering from the one of the fires. And the thought of that and the sight and the sound and the smell of that makes me physically ill. So these people have lost homes. They've lost all their cattle, some of them, and it's the wind is crazy, and it's a very, very tough. But I see some of the people. I know one of the people that's jumped in to pitch in is Paul Cleveland, and he's a longtime great rodeo cowboy from the Midwest, and he sits on the perch at Cheyenne every year and kind of ride shotgun on that at shoot nine. But he's got his sleeves rolled up, and I don't believe he's sleeping right now, trying to help other people, you know, get feed to people that don't have any grass for their cattle or, you know, different things. And when you see how people in cowboy hats will jump in, rodeo people will help ranchers and vice versa. It's makes you feel pretty good.
Yeah, it does. And I think that's in our industry. I would ask for all of our people to keep keeping your prayers and your thoughts, our servicemen and the other countries and everything that's going on outside our bubble that's real, that is far away but near. I have a niece whose husband flies the tankers, and a tanker just went down, right? And he's safe, but people, pray for these people. Pray for all these people. This is regardless of what you think, war is not a pretty thing, and we've got our people over there, and pray for them. I think it's important, and that's not being political. That's just being human. Some of our people are in danger, and keep them in your prayers because God can take care of them. So anyway, and also we'll catch up. If you haven't, send us some feedback. I don't have the feedback number because I don't have Greg here.
Hey guys, this is Greg from the editing booth. I just wanted to give you the number that you can text us at. It's 817-668-2395, or email us at nospinfeedback@gmail.com. Hey, we love what you guys send to us. Please keep it coming, and back to the show.
And give us some feedback if you disagree with me. I haven't heard in a while from the guy that says that he mutes it every time that I talk. So get out there, communicate with us. Let us know what you want us to find out. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Kendra, for being cool. Thank you for keeping the world in touch with our sport. It's much appreciated.
Thanks. My pleasure.
God bless all of you. We'll see you in a week. This has been No Spin Rodeo. God bless you all.